Okay, so again, welcome everyone. It's a blessing being here with you today and always. So this week we have Parsha Re'eh, as well as it is Mer Vachim Chodesh Elul. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Parsha Re'eh and then talk a lot about Elul. So the definition of Re'eh is to see. The first few verses say, "See this day I set before you blessing and curse. Blessing if you obey," which is the Hebrew word tishma'u, "the commandments of the Lord your God that I enjoin upon you this day, and curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn away from that path that I enjoin upon you this day, and follow other gods whom you have not experienced." And then the Parsha goes on to say, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you're about to enter and possess, you shall pronounce the blessing at Mount Gerizim and the curse at Mount Ebal. For you are about to cross the Jordan to enter and possess the land that the Lord your God is assigning to you. And when you've occupied it and settled in it, take care to observe all the laws and rules that I have set before you this day." Then this parsha is very rich. It goes on to give us the laws of kashrut, the laws of generosity, tzedakah, regarding tithings, and it concludes with the laws of the three pilgrimage festivals, Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuot. And the celebration of the festivals, I'm assuming, was meant to foster unity, shared joy, and gratitude for God's blessings. And the laws and rituals of the festivals, along with the Ten Commandments, allow the Jewish people to become a cohesive community, a community that also includes a central place for God and a sacred place where God dwells. So going back to the first line of blessing and curse, in our mindfulness practice, blessing can be experienced as being in the moment, being in touch with the unfolding of life, cultivating compassion, gratitude, and generosity, along with loving kindness as we perform acts of chesed, having reasons to say Shehecheyanu as often as possible. For me, the curse is what takes us away from being alive, from our aliveness, and not having compassion, not having gratitude, not bringing acts of chesed to our loved ones, to our communities, or to the stranger. In Buddhism, we have five hindrances: desire, aversion, sloth, torpor, restless and worry, which is doubt. Each of these five hindrances can be looked upon as a curse. The curse can also be one of the seven deadly sins of the Christian faith: lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. All of these bring tremendous suffering to us and pull us further and further away from being in the moment and having a choice of what we can do with our lives. It takes us away from being in touch with the divine presence, Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, being within this aliveness and within the God field, where loving kindness, compassion, and generosity reside. When we meditate, we sense the rising up and falling away of our breath. One could say that this is the constant flow of God, and in that experience of being in the moment, in sense, one senses an aliveness. We bring that aliveness to the foreground, to the world. We bring the God field into focus, and we bring the God field to the present moment. Rabbi Jonathan Slater says, "God is the source of everything. in the mystical sense of the deepest recesses of the deepest awareness of the divine, is that part of God that is constantly giving life in every moment and in every way. Like our breathing, we don't control our breathing, we are breathed. That constant flow of the divine is all around us, like surround sounds. And we can tap into that flow of the divine by being in the moment, even if just for a second. Our senses help us in that way. For example, feeling the wind, the sun, the rain, the snow, seeing colors, clouds, faces, mountains, valleys, smelling the salt water at the ocean, the flowers in a garden, a freshly mowed lawn, eating mindfully so that we really taste our food, enhancing our sense of taste, and hearing sounds of nature or the city, really being alive in the moment. That's a choice that we may have. We listen to the flow of life by hearing the sounds all around us and within us, while still being connected to our core, to that deep part of us that connects to the divine. And then we recognize that we are in the flow of life that is bigger than ourselves. Returning to the interconnectedness to all that is, to all that is alive, our aliveness is the God field. And we can sing to ourselves the Reb Zalman song, I am alive. And who is this aliveness I am? Is it not the Holy Blessed One? Rabbi Kerry Olitsky says, See Re'eh, open your eyes. Take a good hard look at the world around you. Be clear about what you see and what needs to be done and what you need to do. Here we have a choice of not being reactive, but actually being in tune with what the situation really needs and how our actions can be helpful. In Buddhism, we call this right action. Rav Claudia, in her Shabbat message yesterday, she also talks about right action. She states that our lives are bound together. The choices we make are never ours alone. They shape our families, our communities, our country, and our world. What values guide those choices? The verse 13:5 in the Parsha, after the eternal your God, you shall walk. Well, what does it mean to follow God? The rabbis immediately ask, how can a human being possibly walk after God? And the Talmud answers, walk after God's attributes. This is still Rav Claudia's message. Just as God clothed the naked, so should you clothe the naked. Just as God visited the sick, so should you visit the sick. Just as God comforted mourners, so should you comfort the mourners. And just as God buried the dead, so should you bury the dead. The Torah is not describing an abstract ideal of holiness. It is pointing to a lived act of compassion already modeled by God in the world. So that's the part of Re'eh. And now we're going to shift to Me'achavim Chodesh Elul, which is also today. And I want to spend some time on this aspect of this Shabbat. Me'achavim Chodesh Elul refers to the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Elul. So during this Shabbat, we bless and announce the upcoming month of Elul, which will begin next Shabbat. And we do this at Shabbat morning services. So Rosh Chodesh Elul is when the month of Elul actually begins. And it is the final month of the Jewish year and serves as a 30-day period of deep spiritual preparation, soul-searching, repentance, tshuva, leading up to Rosh Hashanah. And though Elul ends the first day of Rosh Hashanah, this journey always extends to Yom Kippur and then becomes 40 days, as Bobby pointed out to us, told us last week. Elul focuses on introspection and spiritual preparation for the high holidays, highlighting the month as a time for self-reflection, making amends, and drawing closer to God, as seen in the acronym of the month's name, Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. The rabbis teach that Elul is an acronym for these words from the Song of Songs. Rabbi Sharon Cohen Ansfield of Hebrew College writes, Elul offers us a prolonged preparatory period of personal and communal soul-searching, leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This is both a responsibility and a gift. The word tshuva comes from the ancient Hebrew root meaning to return. That small three-letter root makes a large promise that however lost we may feel, however far we may have wandered or fallen, somehow we can find our way back. Tshuva entails a return that is arduous, uncertain, unpredictable, but very alive. It is a return not to what was, but to what is and what might be. It is a return not to who we were, but to who we long to be. It is a return not to an irretrievable past, but to each other and to God. In this sense, the call to tshuva is a call to both belonging and becoming. So interesting, the five letters of the word tshuva stand for the five paths of tshuva. Tav, to be sincere with your God, sincerity. Shin, shaviti, I have set God before me always, a humble awareness of the divine. Vav, viahavta, love your fellow as yourself, the path of love. Bet, behol, in all your ways know God, recognizing divine providence. Hey, hatsne lechet, walk discreetly with your God, discretion and modesty. True tshuva not only repairs but transforms the past. And this was taken from A Spiritual Guide to the High Holidays by Simon Jacobson. So historically, Elul is the time period which Moses returned to Mount Sinai to plead for forgiveness for the sin of the golden calf. Consequently, Elul is the month for us to work on forgiveness, forgiveness of ourselves and others. Perhaps as we forgive, we become more open to a greater divine revelation. As difficult as it might be, forgiveness is often the best thing that we can do for ourselves. Though forgiveness is a spiritual practice for the entire year, it's a major theme this month of Elul. Forgiveness does not mean that we condone negative behavior, nor do we just forget or ignore the hurt, but we can and need to let go of the anger. Forgiveness asks us to see beyond the limits of our personality or that of the person who injured us. In the act of forgiveness, we substitute compassion for blame, and we trust ourselves and God that we have grown and will continue to grow from the pain and challenges we have experienced. As liberating as it is to forgive others, it's also important to love and forgive ourselves. The mystical work of Elul is hit bonadut, deep contemplation, preparing the heart to align with divine will and enter the new year with clarity. Hit bonadut focuses on understanding and realizing the presence of God in the world to achieve spiritual growth and attachment to God. Rabbi Nachman of Breslau explains this as he explains Hit Bonadut. This is his prayer to God as he speaks to God. He says, "Dear God, teach me to begin anew, to renew myself along with all of creation, just as you renew the entire world each day. Show me how I can break free of the constraints of my habits, the restraints of my insecurities, the shackles of my unwarranted fears. Teach me, dear God, to make a fresh start, to break yesterday's patterns, to stop telling myself I can't when I can. I'm not when I am. I'm stuck when I'm eminently free." One of my favorite quotes of Thich Nhat Hanh, who I quote often, of blessed memory, is, "My actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground upon which I stand." So we reflect on our actions of the past year, as well as our hopes for the new year. And to help us in this journey, we have Psalm 27 that we recite every day, and the shofar that we listen to every morning. I especially love listening to the shofar in the mornings during Elul. We have the opportunity to unlock the innermost potent meanings of our hearts when we listen to the shofar. The daily blasts help us in reaching the depths of our hearts during Elul. The Baal Shem Tov taught that the shofar is an emotional, intuitive way of gaining access to the deepest recesses of our heart, of divine experiential knowledge. Its blast, the wordless sound, speaks to the heart in a way all of the greatest words and insights cannot approach. And again, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says that when the shofar blows 100 times in Rosh Hashanah, a bridge is formed between heaven and earth. Zornberg, one of my favorite Torah scholars, Aviva Zornberg, says the shofar is a call for transcendence. It evokes an irrational world of non-linear time, of surmounting the unyielding accountability in order to reach an even higher truth, an affirmative one, one of chesed, loving kindness. The call of the shofar is a call to tshuva, to return, a return to spiritual intimacy, just like the lyrics of the song, "Return again, return again, return to the land of your soul." In reference to the land of your soul, a quote from Jonathan Slater, Rabbi Jonathan Slater, he says, "God is the source of everything. In the mystical sense, the deepest recesses of the deepest awareness of the divine is that part of God that is constantly giving life in every moment and in every way, like our breathing. We don't control our breathing, we are breathed." And the song goes on to say, "Return to who you are, return to what you are, and return to where you are, born and reborn again." And we return mindfully as we embrace ourselves. We ask for forgiveness from those we've hurt. And in asking for forgiveness, we face our own brokenness and the pain we have caused others and the pain we've caused ourselves. We give our brokenness love rather than cast it aside and reject it. We break our hearts open both in asking for forgiveness and in being forgiven. The pain we've caused is brought into the light. It is experienced in the light and not hidden in the darkness. And being brought into the light allows the possibility for that pain to be transformed into compassion and understanding. When we bring compassion to any situation, our hearts soften. As the Dalai Lama says, love and compassion are necessities. Without them, humanity cannot survive. We return with an open, loving heart, a lev tahor, a pure heart. Rabbi James Jacobson Maisel says that we do this work through love and a desire to heal and transform. to recognize our own belovedness and to use that as an engine to power our love and care for others. Rabbi Alan Liu of blessed memory, in his book, This Is Real and You Are Completely Unprepared, teaches us, tshuva begins with a turn away from the external world, toward the inner realm of the heart. We effect this turn in many ways. If we are not used to solitude or contemplation, if we are normally consumed by a frantic round of activity, then simply stopping can suddenly leave us in confrontation with the contents of our heart. Often all that's required of us is to be still for a moment, and the heart begins to disclose itself to us of its own accord. He goes on to describe the spiritual path of Elul through the end of the holiday season. Rabbi Liu says, on this journey, our soul will awaken to itself. We will venture from innocence to sin and back to innocence again. This is a journey from denial to awareness, from self-deception to judgment. We will learn our divine name. We will move from self-hatred to self-forgiveness, from anger to healing, from hard-heartedness to brokenheartedness. This is the journey the soul takes to transform itself, to evolve, the journey from boredom and staleness, from deadness to renewal. It is on the course of this journey that we confront our shadow and come to embrace it, that we come to know our deepest desires and catch a glimpse of where they come from, that we express the paradoxical miracle of our own being, and the infinite power of simply being present, simply being who we are. It is the journey from little mind to big mind, from confinement in the ego to a sense of ourselves as part of something much larger. It is the journey from isolation to a sense of our intimate connection to all being. This is a journey on which we discover ourselves to be part of an inevitable chain of circumstances, the journey beyond death, the journey home. And of course, we need awe throughout all of this. There are so many books these days on awe. Alan Marinus writes in his book, Everyday Holy Day, awe is a human experience of the transcendent, piercing, apparent reality, a glimpse of the supreme within the mundane, however it may come to us. A moment of awe gives us a small taste of cosmic mystery, an intuitive intimation of the divine. Awe does not protest phenomenal reality. Rather, it offers direct affirmation of the eternal that lies within the worldly. Awe is an invitation to seek, delivered directly to the heart. So, some questions to ponder as we begin Elul next Shabbat. What does return mean to you? How would you like to return in regards to your relationships with others? How would you like to return in relationship to yourself? How would you like to return in regards to your relationship with the divine? How do you envision your meditation practice or mindfulness practice helping you with tshuva? So let's take a moment of silence and then we'll open it up for discussion.